Our scripture reading this evening comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." The word of the Lord. Well, what a special night this is, isn't it? There's just something magical about this day, the anticipation of what is to come tomorrow, the build-up into the evening, knowing that we look forward to this time of worship gathered together, the candlelight, everything that makes Christmas Eve so special. There is so much we love about Christmas time. But one thing that stands out above all the rest is the music and songs of Christmas. Decorate all you want, put up all the lights, but it really doesn't begin to feel like Christmas until the music begins. There's no other holiday as defined by music as Christmas. And so it is fitting that the very first Christmas was announced with song, an incredible, extraordinary event that occurs in the midst of the most ordinary of circumstances. It kind of seems like God works that way a lot, doesn't he? As we look at the song of the angels, we will see that in the midst of the ordinary, something extraordinary happened for them and for us as well. Luke sets the scene in his typically succinct style. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. They're just ordinary fellows, doing a fairly ordinary job. Really, it's a job that was very necessary, but not very much appreciated. Not appreciated by others, and honestly, probably not really appreciated by the shepherds either. It might be similar to being a gas station attendant or maybe a garbage man today." If this event happened today, Luke might have written, "And there were gas station attendants behind the counter, keeping watch over the pumps and the aisles." You really can't get much more ordinary and frankly boring than this. And in the midst of the ordinariness of the shepherds' lives, the angels appear in extraordinary fashion. Luke says, without any preamble, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." So often we envision angels as these cute little fat babies with tiny wings on their backs, plucking harps. But seriously, who's really afraid of Cupid? No. Luke says that the angels appeared and the glory of the Lord shone around them. The Old Testament is full of examples of God appearing to the people in various forms, but never allowing them to see him fully. And in each and every case, the people are terrified. The glory of the Lord is pure holiness, pure love, pure righteousness, pure perfection. And in the face of such purity and awesomeness, the only reaction we can really have is terror. Why? Well, because God's glory becomes a mirror for us, showing us just how imperfect and impure we are. How unworthy we are to be in the presence of such goodness and love, such holiness and power. It becomes inescapable. Isaiah, when given a vision of God's throne room, was right to cry out, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Isaiah fully expected to die because of what he'd seen. And I imagine the shepherds felt exactly the same way. But the angel, quick to ease their terror, tells them that they do not need to be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Three key phrases in this announcement. First, this is good news. Second, this is good news of great joy. And third, this good news of great joy is meant for all of the people. The announcement of the angels isn't just for the shepherds or for Mary and Joseph or for the Jews. It's for all people of all times and all places. And that news is good, and it should elicit great joy. Why? Because our Savior has come. And our Savior has come of all the possible ways, as a baby lying in a manger. But this isn't just any baby, and this isn't just any Savior. This baby, this Savior, is Christ the Lord. This isn't any Savior. This isn't a Savior. This is the Savior. The one who can fix that problem that we were just talking about. The problem that caused the shepherds' terror, their brokenness, their fallenness, their unworthiness, their sinfulness. And the angels, these heavenly beings that spend their time in God's presence, are so overwhelmed with awe at what is happening that the moment the angel stops speaking, the rest of the entire heavenly host appears. Again, we're not talking about a group of plump babies with wings plucking harps. This is the mighty heavenly army of the Lord. And they appear as suddenly as the first angel and immediately break out into the third and the shortest song of Christmas, the Gloria. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Someone once said that no one yearns for peace more than a soldier. So how fitting is it to have the army of God proclaiming that peace has come? Now, the first thing that the angels announce is glory to God in the highest. You know, sometimes I think our impression of this phrase is distorted by the brash arrogance of many modern athletes and Hollywood icons. They spend their time making sure that everyone knows how awesome they are and that they deserve to be glorified. So we hear the angels proclaim glory to God, and a part of us wonders if God isn't acting a little bit like LeBron James or Kanye West. But those guys and the rest of our athletes and Hollywood actors and actresses and whatnot don't deserve the attention that they demand. But God, on the other hand, God most definitely does. God, well, is God and is the only being that deserves honor and glory. And so to give glory to God in the highest is to recognize both his perfection and greatness as well as our imperfection. We put God and ourselves in our proper places, so to speak. The angels continue on to sing. On earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. This is an amazing proclamation. Think back for yourself over the past few weeks. How peaceful have they really been? Honestly, I don't think we know or understand what peace really is anymore. Someone once said, peace, it does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, trouble, or hard work. It means to be in the midst of those things, and yet to still be calm in your heart. Who doesn't yearn for that kind of peace. But what the angels are proclaiming is that, but so much more. A pastor I know writing about this very passage said, God wants us to know his peace. He wants it to fill our hearts and minds so we are no longer tossed around on an emotional roller coaster by the circumstances of life. However, we have to remember a simple truth. You cannot have the peace of God unless you are at peace with God. Our souls will never know the healing balm of God's peace until we reconcile with him through confessing our sin to him, receiving his love and forgiveness, and asking him to fill us with his Holy Spirit so that Christ himself, the Prince of Peace, can take up residence in our lives. The ability to find calm in our hearts in the midst of noise, trouble, and hard work only comes with the presence of Christ in our hearts and lives. And that, brothers and sisters, is the good news of great joy. Because our Savior, Christ the Lord, has been born, we can finally have peace with God. And then we can find the peace of God, which we were created for from the very beginning. God's peace only comes to those upon whom God's favor rests. And with that, the angelic hosts return to heaven. And the shepherds return back to their ordinary lives with a, well, that was different, kind of comment to each other, right? No, not at all. They've just seen the heavenly host and been told that the Savior that they've been waiting for over 400 years has been born. So immediately they get up and they go to find the Savior and worship him. Luke says they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph. Their first instinct is to respond to the proclamation of the angels by worshiping God. The same response we are called when we encounter the Word of God ourselves. The very thing we are doing this evening, and that we do each Sunday that we gather together. But that isn't all. Yes, the shepherds worshiped, but then they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They worshiped, but then they told others. You see, they'd been given the peace and favor of God, and they had to share it with others. And we find ourselves called to the same response. To worship and to share. Maybe it's a bit predictable to hear a pastor say it, but that doesn't make it any less true. There is no greater gift you can give someone else than to show them how to find God's favor and receive his peace. It's kind of weird if you think about it. Usually when we're given a gift, as we will all have happen tomorrow, I hope for you, when we're given a gift, it's meant for us to have and for us to keep, but not this gift, not the gift given to the shepherds. Yes, it's given to them and to us, but it isn't meant for just them or us. It's meant for everyone, and we are the ones who get to share it with those who don't yet know. Brothers and sisters, as we continue in worship this Christmas Eve evening, may God fill you with his favor and his peace. May you recognize the extraordinary work of God in the midst of the ordinary around you every day and share that gift with all you come in contact with this Christmas season. Amen.